The content of this program is intended for people who are blind, print, and impaired. Hello, this is Doris Hyde for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you the sound prints for March 10th is now online. A Journey Through History meets April 2nd, soliciting entertainers for convention in July. Library Users of America information, Lions Club 2019 information, and from Triangle Sings, there is a choral workshop happening April 27th. The Academy Award-winning movie Green Book will be shown at convention in July, and a piece about Alex Trebek by Ken Jennings, the longest-running champion of the Jeopardy TV show. And if I have time left, I'll read some pieces from Cool Blind Tech. Today's reading of Vision News is underwritten by an anonymous gift in loving memory of Joe and Kelly. The Sound Prints Audio Magazine for March 10th is now online. Talking Books, A Kentucky Perspective, Personal and Family Histories, Preserving Early Childhood Memories. http://www.kentucky-acb.org/soundprints. Link to subscribe to the Sound Prints Audio Magazine podcast with the extension .xml. If you have any questions about the Sound Prints Audio Magazine, contact the Kentucky Council of the Blind. Phone 502-895-4598 or email kcb@kentucky-acb.org. A Journey Through History will meet April 2nd, 2019, and review Girl with the Pearl Earring by Tracy Chevalier, DB50258. David Foshu takes our focus away from the Founding Fathers and the Washington Beltway with this story, which provides a glimpse into the structured middle-class life during the 17th century Dutch Golden Age. Released from the strictures of the Spanish occupation and funded by wealth from the Indies in the growing middle-class dominated Dutch society and changed its art. It is told through the fictional account of the coming of age of a young woman maidservant in the household of the famous Dutch painter Johan Vermeer, who became the model for Vermeer's most famous painting, which many called the Dutch Mona Lisa. NLS annotation, Girl with the Pearl Earring, DB50258, https://nlsbard.loc.gov/nlsbard/download/detail/src/db50258. Chevalier Tracy, reading time 7 hours 51 minutes, read by Lisette Licat. Historical Fiction Bestsellers, a fictional account of how the 17th century artist Vermeer came to paint a portrait of a young woman wearing a pearl earring. When 16-year-old Griet, a Protestant, becomes a maid in Vermeer's Catholic household, the drudgery of her duties is offset by working in the artist's studio. Some Descriptions of Sex, bestseller, 1999. Don Queen, co-host, Journey Through History, 510-528-8445, queens@pacbell.net. Zoom invitation. We meet on the first Tuesday of the month. Join us April 2nd, 2019 at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Join from PC, Mac, Linux, iOS, or Android at https://zoom.us/j/17780972. iPhone One Tap in the U.S. 1-408-638-0986, #17780972, or 1-646-876-9923, #17780972. Telephone in the U.S. 1-408-638-0986 or 1-646-876-9923 with the meeting ID 17780972. International numbers available at https://zoom.us/u/yCQ4DR N. Subscription information and special notes, AW-announcements plus subscribe at groups.io. You will receive a confirmation email. Just reply to it without writing anything. Janet Dickelman forwards the following email from the local host committee in Rochester, New York regarding the convention. Hi, all. I'm still looking for a couple of more people to provide entertainment before ACB sessions at our conference and convention in Rochester this summer. Also, I have someone who would like to sing, but she needs an accompanist. I know we have many very talented members in this organization. So if you are one of them, or know somebody who is, please contact me off the list at jmann40@nycap.rr.com. That's jmann40@nycap.rr.com. If interested, please email me. Hope to hear from you soon. Thanks. Signed, Gene Mann. Carla Roucheval writes, there's still time to become a 2019 or life member of the Library Users of America and help us improve library services and access to information for people who are blind and visually impaired. Read on to discover why your membership is important. Also, if you wish to join LUA through our California chapter, you will find a corrected number for contacting them. Our apologies to CLUA for inadvertently distributing incorrect information. Quality library services through NLS Talking Book Libraries and BARD are a high priority for people with low vision. Budget cuts and shortages of operating funds threaten current and future services for people who are visually impaired. LUA President Brian Charlson and other LUA members are presenting at conferences and participating in ongoing discussions that encourage more accessibility at local public libraries and address issues related to the NLS program. LUA meetings at the American Council of the Blind Conference and Convention include informative programs and discussions related to library services. LUA presents workshops on the latest book-related hardware and software applications. LUA brings its programs within the reach of every person who is blind or visually impaired in the country. Our Library Without Walls conference calls are an opportunity to share good books on a variety of topics. Calls are scheduled every other month and are open to all. The LUA Ledger is our excellent magazine. It is published 1 to 2 times a year and is available in Braille, large print, on LNLS audio cartridge, and by email. An LUA members-only email list was established in 2017. Posted there are announcements of Library Without Walls conference calls and other teleconferences and information of interest to library users. The LUA Ledger is also posted on this list. Become a member of LUA now. LUA dues are $12 for 1 year or $150 for a life membership. You can join LUA directly or through one of our three chapters, California 510-846-4080, Kentucky 502-895-4598, or Texas 281-438-9665. Note that chapters may have additional dues as well. If you wish to join LUA directly, not through a chapter, you may also do so in one of several ways. Pay with your credit card by calling 502-897-1472 or visit www.paypal.com and send money to lua.payments@gmail.com or make a check payable to Library Users of America and mail it to Library Users of America, 148 Vernon Avenue, Louisville, Kentucky 40206. Thank you for becoming part of Library Users of America. There's still time to join the American Council of Blind Lions and be part of the affiliate that roars. ACBL gives Lions across the country who are blind and visually impaired a chance to share ideas and experiences. ACBL encourages people with low vision to become Lions and participate in service projects in their local clubs and communities. ACBL holds informative and telephone conference call meetings on the first Thursday of each month at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. 20 to 25 people from across the country join each call every month to discuss issues of importance to Lions. And there is always time to ask questions and share ideas and ways we participate in our local clubs. The conference call number is 712-432-3900, and the call code is 796096. In 2019, ACBL will again support the American Council of the Blind Scholarship Program. As a sponsor, ACBL will assist outstanding students to attend the 58th ACB National Conference and Convention in Rochester, New York, where they can learn about our outstanding organization, connect with others in their chosen fields of study, and discover the many opportunities available to them as they seek to become successful members of society. Support for this project comes from contributions from local clubs, from individual Lions, and from the ACBL Treasury. ACBL will once again hold two events at the ACB National Conference and Convention, our reverse club visit lunch program and meeting, and our Millie's Place pin swap will both happen on Wednesday, July 10th in Rochester. More details will be available on our monthly conference calls and in the convention pre-registration. If you are already a Lion, have been a Lion in the past, or would like to become a Lion, you are invited to be part of ACBL. Membership is open to people who are blind, visually impaired, or sighted. One-year membership is just $15. Life membership is $150. Whether you are new to ACBL or you need to renew your membership for 2019, take a few minutes now to become part of ACBL. It's quick and easy. Pay dues by phone with your credit card by calling 502-897-1472 or go to www.paypal.com and send money to lions.acb@gmail.com. Or you may choose to make a check payable to ACB Lions and mail to American Council of Blind Lions, Adam Ruschival, Treasurer, that's R-U-S-C-H-I-V-A-L, 148 Vernon Avenue, Louisville, Kentucky, 40206. Reminder, please be sure to include your name, address, phone, and email address with your dues payment. Thank you in advance for joining ACB Lions. Signed, Lion, Carla Ruschival, President, American Council of Blind Lions. Triangle Sings, announced March 9th, register today for a Wake Forest Choral Workshop with Sally Albrecht. Everything Choir in the Triangle. Northeast Piedmont Chorale, established 1987. All singers are invited to a Wake Forest Choral Workshop with Sally Albrecht. If you love to sing, don't miss this very special opportunity to make music with fellow choral singers in the Triangle community. The Northeast Piedmont Chorale Workshop, entitled Spring Sing, will be Saturday, April 27th at the St. Catherine of Siena Catholic School in Wake Forest, and is open to school, church, and community singers, high school age and up. Our new registration deadline is March 29th, so be sure to register soon. Popular choral clinician and composer Sally K. Albrecht will again lead this exciting one-day choral workshop and concert event. When? Saturday, April 27th, 2019. Time, 8:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. Concert at 4 p.m. Where? St. Catherine of Siena Catholic School Fellowship Hall, Wake Forest, North Carolina. Who? Open to school, church, and community singers, high school, college, and adult. Cost, $25 per person, covers participation, music packet, and lunch. Cost is $20 for high school and college age registrations. Special offer, director attends free if he or she brings 8 or more singers. Updates, keep checking the NPC website for additional information. Questions? Email Jackie Finnegan or Judy Miller at springsing@npchorale.org. Download and submit PDF registration forms for the Spring Sing. Note, new registration deadline is March 29th. Sally K. Albrecht is a choral composer, conductor, and clinician, especially known for her work with the choral movement, an annual recipient of the ASCAP's Special Music Award since 1987, Ms. Albrecht has more than 550 popular choral publications in print, 75 larger elementary songbooks and musicals, plus 20 instructional choral movement DVDs. She has directed and staged the halftime show singers performing during 2 Florida Citrus Bowls, and has conducted hundreds of honor choir events, including festivals at Lincoln Center, Carnegie Hall, and the Kennedy Center. For over 3 decades, she was the director of the school choral and classroom publications for 2 major educational music publishing companies, most recently for Alfred Music. A native of Cleveland, Ohio, Ms. Albrecht received a BA degree from Rollins College in Florida with a double major in music and theater. From there, she moved to the University of Miami, Florida, where she received both an MA in drama and an MM in accompanying. She was an accompanist for Fred Waring and has taught the music departments at Oakland University in Michigan, Jersey City State College in New Jersey, and Meredith College in North Carolina. Ms. Albrecht has worked with literally thousands of teachers, presenting sessions at music conventions and choral music workshops in over 40 states, Canada, Singapore, and Australia. Ms. Albrecht and her husband, composer-arranger Jay Althaus, currently enjoy living in Raleigh, North Carolina. They were thrilled to have their composition, I Hear America Singing, performed during the 2009 presidential inauguration ceremonies. In 2015, her Domine Deus was sung by the Archdiocesan Children's Choir as the Pope arrived at the Catholic Cathedral Basilica of Saints Peter and Paul in Philadelphia. In 2016, her composition, This Is the Day, was premiered by the Texas Choral Directors Association Elementary Honor Choir. Most recently, I'm Bound for Glory was premiered under her direction at Carnegie Hall by the World Strides on Stage Honors Junior Choir. Ms. Albrecht currently serves as the Foundation President of the Board of Trustees for the Omicron Delta Kappa National Leadership Honor Society, and she is a proud recipient of their Pillar of Leadership Award. Janet Dickelman writes, as is the tradition at the conference and convention of the American Council of the Blind in Rochester, we will be showing the 2019 Academy Award-winning film Green Book with audio description. Green Book is a biographical comedy-drama film directed by Peter Farrelly. Set in 1962, the film is inspired by the true story of a tour of the Deep South by Jamaican-American classical and jazz pianist Don Shirley. Mahershala Ali is the actor, and Italian-American composer Tony Vallelonga, played by Viggo Mortensen, who served as Shirley's driver and bodyguard. The film was written by Farrelly, Brian Hayes Curry, and Vallelonga's son, Nick, based on interviews with his father and Shirley, as well as letters his father wrote to his mother. The film is named after the Negro Motorist Green Book, a mid-20th century guidebook for African-American travelers written by Victor Hugo Green, to help them find motels and restaurants that would accept them at a time of widespread racial segregation and sunset towns. Green Book won the 2019 Academy Award for Best Picture, as well as Best Original Screenplay and Best Supporting Actor for Mr. Ali. The film will be shown Wednesday, July 10th at 7:30 p.m. with a cost of $7 pre-registration and $10 on-site. Don't miss out on the fun. Make your hotel reservations today. Room rates at the Hyatt and the Riverside are $89 per night, single or double occupancy, with an additional $10 per person for up to four people. This room rate does not include tax, which is currently 14%. For telephone reservations, call the Riverside at 585-546-6400 or the Hyatt at 800-233-1234. Make sure to mention you are with the American Council of the Blind 2019. Rooms must be booked by June 7, 2019 to guarantee the convention rate. To make reservations online or visit our website, www.acb.org, and follow the 2019 convention link for online reservations. Please feel free to contact me with any questions either via phone at 651-428-5059 or email janet.dickelman@gmail.com. What Alex Trebek Is Really Like by Ken Jennings. It was about a month into my 2004 run on Jeopardy that Alex Trebek made me laugh out loud. And now we come to our returning champion, Ken Jennings, he said, who has won 29 consecutive games. He paused for one perfectly timed beat as he turned and nodded offhandedly to me. You may now call me Alex. The joke, of course, was that everyone already calls him Alex. Cronkite was Cronkite, and even Johnny was often Carson. But while we all think of Trebek as Alex, that avuncular Canadian-accented presence who has been in our homes every weeknight for 35 years. Whether we watch it regularly or not, we all rely on Jeopardy always being there. It's no longer an entertainment property. It's an institution. Alex Trebek announced a few days ago that he has stage 4 pancreatic cancer and that he plans to keep working as he fights the disease. Let me be clear, this is not an elegy. I hope Alex will be hosting Jeopardy Jeopardy for a long time to come. It's impossible to even imagine the show with anyone else, but he's been doing one job so long and so well that I think we sometimes take him for granted. Let's make sure that we appreciate the man as long as we have him. Jeopardy contestants are, by strict policy and even the weight of federal law, kept far away from anyone who actually runs the game. Apart from what home viewers see on camera, you don't hang out with Alex. He remains, I like to say, a riddle wrapped in an enigma, wrapped in a Perry Ellis suit. And yet, to be a contestant, whether you're on one show or 75 shows, is to spend the rest of your life answering one question. Ooh, what's Alex like? Alex Trebek fascinates America, but we don't quite get him. He's a game show host, but he's not hearty or ingratiating. He's a comedy signifier, most famously lampooned by Will Ferrell on Saturday Night Live for many years, but he also seems to be in on the joke. My picture of him has been built up in little glimpses over the years to the point where I finally feel confident handling the endless stream of what's Alex like? In person, he's decidedly not the stern judicial presence you might expect. On TV, he's all business. He has 61 clues to get to and not a lot of time. Hosting such a dense, fast-moving game is an insanely hard job, but he makes it look effortless. Here's the belief that lies at the core of Alex's TV persona. Jeopardy itself, not he, is the star of the show. It's all about the format, the players, the facts, the dissemination of answers and questions. It's hard to imagine any modern TV personality deftly avoiding the spotlight like that. But when the cameras stop rolling, Alex is a looser, even goofy presence. He takes studio audience questions at every break, sometimes slipping into funny accents or even bits of soft shoe. He still has the slight testiness, the dry imitation hauteur you see on when he spars with contestants in the interviews, but he's gracious and candid and self-deprecating. The audience eats it up. And does he actually know all of those answers? I get asked. Not everyone likes that a big part of the Jeopardy host's job is to correct wrong answers, questions. No matter how gently Alex offers his traditional, ooh, no, sorry. Of course, Alex has all the responses on a big sheet of paper in front of him, but he's also well-read and well-traveled, the kind of dad with a basement full of old National Geographics. When he pronounces the name of an Italian aria hyper-accurately, or explains that a contestant got George V and George VI confused, he's not putting on airs. Yes, he really knows that stuff. Carson and Cronkite are long gone, but Alex Trebek remains, the last of the old-school broadcasters who once visited us every night as a matter of ritual. When the syndicated modern Jeopardy began in 1984, he was perhaps an odd choice to replace the show's original host, the dignified Art Fleming. He was young, sexily mustached, fresh from dopey game time shows like Battlestars, but two generations of youngsters have now grown up on his clipped syllables. College students and retirees alike plan their evenings around his reassuring presence. He takes it seriously, being the face of Jeopardy, the voice of facts in a post-fact world. I've seen him with beaming tourists who sit in his studio audiences, and the awestruck bookish kids for whom he was the host of National Geographic B for 25 years. He knows how much he means to people, and I hope it gives him comfort that so many people are pulling for him now. I remember that sense of awe myself when I watched Alex walk on stage at the top of my very first show. After decades of loyal home viewing, it's a little surreal to have the game suddenly come to life and surround you like Jumanji. But the funny part was how ordinary and comforting and right it felt to have Alex Trebek standing a few feet away, welcoming you to the stage. Who else could it be? Signed, Ken Jennings. He holds the record for the longest winning streak on Jeopardy and is the author of Planet Funny, How Comedy Took Over Our Culture. Email at Ken, no, that's Twitter, at Ken Jennings. Pedestrian deaths highest in 28 years from AP, Dateline Detroit. The number of pedestrians killed on U.S. roads last year was the highest in 28 years, according to a report from a safety organization. Using data reported by states, the Governor's Highway Safety Association estimates that 6,227 pedestrians were killed last year. That's up 4% from 2017 and 35% since 2008. The association blames the increase on factors that include distracted or impaired drivers, more people walking to work, and more SUVs on the road, which cause more severe injuries and collisions with people on foot. It also says most deaths happen on local roads at night and away from intersections, and it called for safer road crossings. Night crashes accounted for more than 90% of the increased deaths over the past decade. While we have made progress reducing fatalities among many other road users in the past decade, pedestrian deaths have risen 35%. Jonathan Adkins, the association's executive director, said in a statement issued Thursday. The alarm bells continue to sound on this issue. From the Associated Press. On March 11th, the White House released a fiscal 2020 budget proposal that would allow the Social Security Administration to use all collection tools to recover funds in certain scenarios, as well as hold fraud investigators liable for overpayments. Right-wing think tanks such as the Heritage Foundation and the Republican Party have long attacked the disability benefits program as being wasteful and rife with abuse. But the number of disability beneficiaries is actually going down due to a stronger economy. Approximately 9.2 million Americans received disability benefits in 2017. People who collect disability benefits, known as Social Security Disability Insurance, receive monthly payments after not being able to work for a year or more due to a disability. Families of deceased beneficiaries are also eligible for these payments in some cases. The disability must limit the recipient's ability to do basic work, such as lifting, standing, walking, sitting, and remembering for at least 12 months, according to the agency website. While Republicans love the Trump administration proposal, disability rights advocates are worried that Facebook photos could be an inaccurate barometer of a person's current physical state. Just because someone posted a photograph of them golfing or going fishing in February of 2019 does not mean that the activity occurred in 2019, Chairwoman of the Consortium for Citizens with Disabilities, Lisa D. Ekman, told The Times. Stalking people's Facebook and Twitter has been a popular strategy throughout Trump's time in office. Immigration and Customs Enforcement under the Department of Homeland Security has ramped up social media surveillance of both Americans and foreign visitors. The U.S. Border Patrol was found to be compiling a database of journalists, activists, and other social media influencers involved in work related to the migrant caravan. The American Civil Liberties Union and ACLU of Northern California is currently suing the Trump administration for information related to its social media surveillance. Source, The New York Times. Designed with children in mind, this wearable device can be worn on a child's wrist, providing extra feedback for the visually impaired child. This bracelet could help visually impaired children develop sense of space. The audio bracelet for blind interactions, ABBY, is not much bigger than a wristwatch, can sense body motion, and provide the user with spatial information on where the movement is taking place based on a series of sounds. After a successful clinical trial, and the ABBY and the ABBY K kit, which contains the wrist device and a set of speakers, ABBY will soon get distributed to hospitals and rehabilitation centers. Overall, they are close to target, leader of the project team Dr. Gorey says. ABBY K will help therapists provide rehabilitation using the ABBY device in a simple and intuitive way, says Dr. Gorey. We're also finalizing the procedure for the CE mark, so it seems we're in a very good place right now. Although it's only been tested on children 3 years of age and older, Dr. Gorey believes the device could have a significant impact on those even younger than 3 years old. Up until now, we've only worked with ABBY on children above the age of three, but I'm convinced the use of ABBY could be crucial to improving spatial manipulation and social skills for visually impaired children in the crucial first 3 years of their lives, says Dr. Gorey. I plan to fully explore this notion further, especially due to the fact that to date, there are only a few technological rehabilitation solutions developed for early intervention in young visually impaired children. We've run out of time for today's Vision News. I hope you've enjoyed it. Be sure to listen next time. I'm Doris Hyde reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, triangleReadingService.org. So long until next time. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. 919-832-5138.